Hi, it's Pat Finelli from Pizza Pizza. Right now, get two medium pizzas with four toppings combined, two free dipping sauces, and six free Coke, all for only $18.99. Perfect for game night, a school night, or the office lunch. And ordering just got a whole lot easier. You can order from our award-winning mobile apps and even win more food. Click and pick Pizza Pizza today.
9-6-7-11-11-Pizza-Pizza. 9-6-7-11-11. Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Up and running on Hockey Central at noon, wrapping up another week here in the HC studios worldwide on Sportsnet.ca, as well as on the NHL Network in the United States, Television Sportsnet, Television Networks. Darren Millard here, along with Gord Stellick. And being Friday, here's PJ Stock.
Bonjour tout le monde.
Translation?
Hello, everyone.
Okay, you got to put your chair down to get closer to the mic.
Sorry.
There's Gord Stellick lowering his chair. Before we get into what happened last night, we will have somebody with 80 points this year.
Yes.
It is amazing. I was giggling about it last night. Gretzky's getting 200 points a year. We might not have someone get 80 points this year.
Sagan would have had it home and cooled out. He seemed to be.
Would have, could have.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
What's reality?
Yeah, reality, somebody will. I think I answered that as a journalist.
75 points right now for Sidney Crosby.
Is that...
Boy.
Is that goalies are better, or is that... the third and fourth line, there's not as much of a drop in the talent pool from the third and fourth line players. Or is it defensive
systems? Maybe more four line teams.
And what about power plays? Because guys used to make hay on power plays, right? Like, I'm kind of surprised that have the power plays not as scoring as what they used to, because guys used to get a ton of points there.
I blocked a shot once.
Once?
Well, I couldn't get out of the way of the puck. Guys block shots. The guys can shoot the puck way harder today.
Who shot it when you blocked it?
I don't even know. My head was turned. I was running away.
Hit you in the butt?
Yeah. It was a wrist shot, Scott Niedermeyer. And it was like one of those, I don't know if he was aiming at me, but it hurts. Guys block shots today. I know the equipment's better, but the one, everyone can shoot it harder. Guys still block shots. The goalies are bigger.
Equipment's better.
By
how much? Skate protectors, guys blocking shot. They've got the boots, the boot protectors. Yep. But how much better are players, skaters, actually protected more than 10 years ago?
Same open spots, you're right.
Yeah.
Same open spots.
Shin pads are relatively the same, are they not?
Pants are the same. Same.
Well, better material, maybe, but still. I mean, look at the injury. But, you know, it is amazing. And you think of the Rangers that time in the playoff run under Tortorella. Like, boy, blocking shots, it used to be the art of one or two guys on a team. And now... everyone's expected to do it.
That means PJ couldn't play today.
I couldn't play. That's why I'm here with you guys. I think the biggest difference, though...
we couldn't play then.
And no disrespect to the Bobby Orr time and the Wayne Gretzky time, but you go back and look at those clips, and they were the best players in the world at that time. The depth players on teams weren't even close. And I think it was a more North American game then, when you were, so your talent pool was a little bit more limited. I think now, and I'm going to talk about Anssi Kopitar later, but we have players from everywhere in the world making our league. You know, your third and fourth line now, everyone can skate. A lot of, you know, it is amazing to see how, you know, Bobby Orr.
So you're going back to 12 teams?
Just, I think, you know, Gretzky's time was, again, expansion era. Bobby Orr's time was expansion era. And there was tons of players.
Because rosters should have been deeper then because there was less teams.
Yeah, but there was only North American players.
Yeah, but I still think the third liners were pretty good back then compared to...
They
the
were.
I hate to pick on the goaltending. I just always find... I have to go down more now. I always find about the goaltending. I just do think that's compared to back
we're
then.
We're going to have a 50-goal scorer, I hope.
I know, which Wayne Gretzky... Remember Wayne Gretzky said that in 2004, that I wonder if we'll get a 50-goal score again? Mm-hmm. He talked about that, but he never thought we wouldn't get an 80-point score. So we got 50-goal scores.
Sidney right now has 8 games, as the leader of the points race, has 8 games to record 5 points.
He'll do it. By the way, this conversation, I'm not taking anything ever away from the two greatest players that I've ever seen ever play in Orr and Gretzky. So I don't mean it that way. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's a compliment to the players today. And I think the goalie in all sports is the one position that has changed the game the most. A quarterback maybe in football. But besides that, everything in hockey has gotten better because of the talent pool is that much bigger now. And the goaltending, the equipment, I know I can say that for every sport. It's just hard. We're sitting here giggling. We might not get 80 points.
Here's another one. I don't know what games we're starting with last night, but when's Pittsburgh going to get going? We had Bill Guerin on 2 weeks ago talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are still seem to be like treading water again like they were 2 weeks ago, because you expect that guy, that team to be winning and him to have gangbuster games, and they're not doing it still.
Lack of depth.
For
they
them?
Have lack of
depth. No, but they can put a power play and an elite unit out there as good as anybody.
No, yeah, their power play. So that's 8 minutes a night. And their power play is fun to watch. The rest of the game is they don't have the depth that they, I think, used to have. And they're kind of going through a little bit of a change.
But why Sidney not get 80 points? That's the thing. He should get that falling out of bed with that team, in all seriousness, with that first line, with playing power play time.
Well, the first line, I love Kunitz. I love Kunitz.
And, of course, there's a big injury there.
You know, Dupuis not playing there. Perron coming over from Edmonton. It's not the same Pittsburgh Penguins that they were when they made that cup ride. They don't have their Hal Gill, Scuderi. They don't have their meat and potato guys.
But does that affect whether Sidney gets 80 points or not?
Well, their whole style of play is different. Yeah. The whole game is different. And I think you look at why are they better? I mean, you look at their talent. Yes, they have Sidney Crosby, who talent-wise his work ethic puts him. Is he in your top five players in the league right now? Yes, because of his point total. But there's some other guys. John Tavares is an amazing story. Carey Price,
It was supposed to be Sidney and Ovechkin for a decade. Really, I mean those two guys. And now the good and bad is if you're Sidney, maybe it's not good. But everybody else, Taves, Tavares, all those other guys.
Part of the reason why Carey Price is such a runaway winner, leader to win the Hart Trophy, because nobody's done anything points wise.
Well, statistically, he leads in every category. Mm-hmm. He's almost rewriting the record books in that mark. The Montreal Canadiens, I think you look at their team, and I always get in trouble because everyone in Montreal now is going to tweet me, but I don't think they are as talented as a lot of the other teams.
What's your Twitter account?
Frege.
Brett, back at the shop. When you find that ticker on the breaking news, play it whenever you want, and we'll continue this conversation.
Tampa, you think of all the teams that are having success, they don't just have two, three guys besides the Canadiens, which is the anomaly in this one. It's they are five, six, seven players, and I don't think Pittsburgh has that right now. I think they're two or three top heavy. And some of those guys could be questioned at times.
But you'd think somebody in the league would have a breakout year.
That's what I mean. Absolutely.
One guy. Come on. I'm not saying Sidney deserves to win the scoring title every year. Oh, there's a typewriter. Got some breaking news.
That's a typewriter?
Hey, my daughter saw one at her grandparents the other day. She's eight. She's like, comes home, she goes, what's that thing that people used to press to write letters? What? That thing. And then I had to phone grandma to find out that she saw a typewriter. She had no idea what it was. This is from a reporter, Chris, out of Toronto Maple Leaf practice today. Phil Kessel, David Booth just had a wrestling match. They weren't goofing around. Kessel got into it at practice. No punches, but a lot of pushing. There was a dust-up. Tempers were running hot. Leaf's teammates had to separate them.
Good.
Well,
overdue.
You get your intensity.
Well, I mean, again, not to go back to the old days, but there would be those things in practice. And they were kind of neat.
All the time.
Because all of a sudden the guys would move in and cool down. But you kind of go, holy crap. And you'd watch for a second. You go, Millard and Stock and whatever. And sometimes it would carry on for another half hour, but whatever. And you moved on. And I got to tell you, I don't want to go Toronto Maple Leaf centric.
No.
But Dion Phaneuf, I think he's a guy that's actually going out hurt, making some hits, and then having to fight because of the dumb hit, because a good hit, and nobody is jumping to his back. Like last night, Sean Thornton went in right away when a couple of the transgressions against the Florida Panthers happened. And for all these guys that love Dion Phaneuf, they're not backing him up. So I'm kind of glad to hear a little bit of that going on in practice.
They ruin it for a lot of other professional hockey teams or players in the National Hockey League. You don't have to say it, Gord, because I know you have to do their – last night you did the game on the radio for the Leafs.
It's not a problem saying it, but anyway, go on.
No, but it is frustrating to watch the way they have an opportunity that how many kids would, so want. And they are just making a mockery of it. Listen, some people just don't have that skill set. They're lucky in an unbelievable position in a great city with great fans, making tons of money. Their work ethic is just embarrassing. It is absolutely embarrassing. Last night in the Buffalo Sabres game, the Sabres were embarrassed because of the way their fans were reacting. They're going down. They don't want to go down. They just don't have the talent to really compete. The Toronto Maple Leafs have the talent. They are just have become embarrassing for their professionalism, for their work ethic. You said Dion Phaneuf, and it's not fair to Dion because it's everyone in that locker room that should really be. I don't know if I would trade for any of these players because I used the term poisoned earlier in the year. I can't see any. I haven't seen one guy go out of his way to stand up for anything that, as an individual, that would make say, "Hey, I like that guy. He's proud."
But you put them in a different room. If you put a Dion in an LA Kings room, I think it's that offers a different dynamic.
And I wasn't being critical. He's the one guy I was talking about. I think he's standing up a little bit. I would call the toxic environment thing that I think right now. Pick your guys, okay? I think Phaneuf goes for humanitarian reasons, just because the gig's up, I do. And I think he's going to thrive somewhere else, and time for Bozak as the number one center. But the other guys you look at, and you get a new, because, you know, JVR should be a big part of it. Phil Kessel is Phil Kessel. Just let him be Phil Kessel, not a part of the leadership group, and you go on from there. You got to figure what elements you need to keep.
Booth and Kessel into a wrestling match today. It was not play fighting. Who did you fight as a teammate?
Oh, geez. Who beat me up?
Because you must have got into it. You could get under people's skin. That was the role you played. It's not a shot. It's not.
No, the problem was sometimes I didn't understand how to slow things down in practice sometimes, because you only kind of play one way, and to play that way, I got to practice.
And you got to get the coach's attention.
Oh, because sometimes guys would yell and give you the F-bomb, right? That way you see sometime a fourth line guy and you see whatever the first line guy kind of once or two warnings, like, I'm at practice. You're still trying to make the team every game.
Every game. You want to be in the lineup. And not only it's the coaches put in compete drills. They put in battle drills. You want to come out with a puck. That's it. Mm-hmm. You're coming out with a puck. Sometimes those first liners forget that, you know, they played 20 minutes last night. I played 3 minutes and then was eating hot dogs after. But I want to, you know, you want to play more. So you're always competing.
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens. Dale Purinton and I don't know if you guys remember Big Dale Purinton with the Rangers. We were in Hartford of the American Hockey League. We had a great team, won the championship that year. But Dale was a big guy, and he was killing a penalty in front of the net. And I was, you guys are going to like this part. I was on the power play, and I was in front of the net. And when you're killing the penalty, the penalty killers would have their sticks upside down, right? So the blade's in the air and almost like the blind walking cane. And they're killing the penalty, and I'm in front of the net. And Dale goes to move me but forgets that the blade's on his stick. So he goes to put like his elbow in front of my face and his hips to push me, and he cuts me under the eye with the blade. So I turn around and say, Dale, that wasn't nice.
Oh, just like that, right? Yeah.
Dale then says, BJ, that's not nice either. So then we start slashing each other like out of a movie. And then at one point I see his eyes go behind his head, and I'm like, I got to jump on this guy quickly before he takes my head off. I jump on him, he jumps on me, and we're beating each other up. And that's like you're saying before, everyone then jumps in. And it's, we giggle, we go to the locker room, and, you know, I'm being stitched up. He's taping putting ice on his knuckles. We have to buy the team lunch. Little things like that.
What do you mean? You had to buy the team lunch?
Well, because it's sad to say, people listening are thinking this is ridiculous. It builds team chemistry sometimes, some of that stuff, depending on the people who do it. I could laugh it off.
So because you guys got into it at practice as teammates, you had to buy the team lunch?
We yes.
Well, and it was genuine. It's a genuine thing. That'd be neat. People go, hey, that's intense. You know what? In the end, and yet, like you said, you go to lunch, which is further bonding, which sometimes they try to create.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those are neat when they genuinely happen.
It's not that it was out of hate. It's that you're competing so high. And I think that's what made our team great. We practiced like we played. And I think that's, you know, when I look at, I don't want to go back to the Leafs, but that's kind of where they are right now. You need more of that compete. That's the only thing that a lot of us can really sit back and criticize, because it's hard to criticize talent, the effort put into taking a shot. Yes, we can sit here and really argue about positioning, but the one thing is compete. And I that's the frustrating part watching them. But that's the one thing that we did, and it leads to arguments, sometimes taking that, going over the edge, taking penalties in games. But as long as there's an understanding by those 20 guys in the locker room, it helps, it builds.
I gotta tell you another thing last night. It's not so much about the Leafs, it's about the Florida Panthers. And because we talk about the modern day player and the privilege to play just like it ever was, and you know, to be involved in the media side or the management side. So at the game last night, two things. I mean, let's face it, the fans know it's a foregone conclusion. And you mentioned, like in Buffalo, they take exception to the Tank Nation here, where unfortunately a lot of fans think it still means you're going to get Connor McDavid in Toronto. But first, they gave a great ovation for Sam Carrick getting his first goal, as they should, which was nice. Yeah. You see the guy, local kid. Then there was a play, and I was trying to figure it out. It was a good Leaf play, good scoring chance. Luongo makes a really nice save. And they start slowly, but this chant of Lou. And I'm thinking at first, Are they dumping on the Maple Leafs about it? And then I realized in chatting with a few guys, including reporter Chris Johnson, you know what's neat?
You took a survey of the press box.
I was confused by the reaction, and then I realized this guy has made himself likable to all the fans because of Twitter and Roberto Luongo. Why wouldn't you? Yeah, like my kids go, like they'll talk about, or the son anyway. But just he's the way he tweets, he's saying, you guys matter. I'm going to give you information. I'm going to have fun with you. I'm going to be whatever. So just fans there are going, hey, that's a good guy. Roberto Luongo is a good guy. So it wasn't like Vancouver fans doing the Lou chant. It just was fans that were there and thought, hey.
It wasn't a mock cheer to the Toronto Maple Leafs?
No. That's at first what I thought. I thought, I'm a little puzzled because it didn't make sense with the play. And then realizing, I think that's the ultimate compliment.
The altercation between Booth and Kessel at practice, your point painting it out to be, it can be a bonding experience for a team. But does it not look like, in my perspective, in this case, a team that's another example that it's coming apart?
Well, it's too late.
It's not too late
with this team. They can top everything.
When top players do it, a lot of times, it's frustration. It's whether someone's not scoring, whether this guy's getting more power play time. When the top end guys do it, there's a lot more frustration into it. And because when the fourth line guys do it, the first line guys giggle, you know, but when the top end guys do it, now everyone's on eggshells walking around. Like we're all sitting around, you know, why are the top end guys doing it?
So is this a good example for the Toronto Maple Leafs in that they care, or is it?
No, they don't care.
More crap.
Well, it's too late to care now.
Well, and David Booth only has like less than 10 games as technically a Toronto Maple Leaf. So, I mean, he's not even a part of the Leafs next year. And the other part, same thing. People sometimes wonder, why doesn't Horachuk pull, you know, what they've done in other places and ream them out in a timeout? And I actually give him credit because, you know what? It's too late. He was the good cop when he came on board, was trying to implement that system. And really now it wouldn't matter.
We'll get to the other action in the National Hockey League now. Darren Millard along with Gord Stellick and PJ Stock here at Hockey Central on this Friday. The playoff race is tightening up, and it was an interesting one in the Eastern Conference last night with Ottawa falling and the Hamburglar coming out of the game, yanked out, and the Florida Panthers winning. The Boston Bruins picking up a point. Ottawa will be fun and more interesting as we're not inside that bubble and getting caught up in what's happening there, just how they react to this. Now,
you want to use the term bubble? I think it's popped. The last four games, they've come back to reality a little bit, given up an average of 3.5 goals per game. And it's not so much, look at the goals, if you're watching on TV, if you're not on the radio, it's just
play
mistakes.
Play for us.
Well, it's mistakes defensively. It's and that's been, I think, their MO all year. Their poorest play in their own zone. And that's what kind of hurt them. And the one difference is Andrew Hammond was able to come in and stand on his head despite the team still making having defensive lapses in their play. Last night was an example. Over the last four games, again, 3.5 goals. And they won a couple because they were able to score four, but they are still making those mistakes. And last night was a night where they were playing a team with too much offense that he couldn't stop those pucks.
And you dressed as the Hamburglar, a week ago Saturday, and now they made ground beef out of him, really mincemeat out of him. That's the analogy that and I look at the Calgary Flames a little bit as well, that, I mean, they're way more entrenched in a playoff spot. But like Ottawa or whatever, when you get on these runs, and it's fun, and you're the underdog, and then the games start to really matter, and the pressure's on you. You know, so the Calgary Flames were the team that, wow, they came back against Boston. Wow, they keep coming back. And, I mean, they are still doing it, but it's a different kind of pressure. And Ottawa's got that to a degree as well, that I know they're not in the playoffs, but it still was, they're getting close. So all of a sudden, the games became really all or nothing. And you're right. You're one loss away from the bubble popping, and whether that was last night or not, it became a bit more real.
Well, the bubble pop, I mean, the Bruins are giving, as great as the story has been for Ottawa, and we want to see all of our Canadian teams in there. I'm an ex-Bruins, so I also would love to see the Bruins play as well. But the Bruins are giving Ottawa every opportunity.
You should heard the Panthers react last night, right? When they heard about the Perry goal. So all of a sudden they're watching the Leaf-Panther game. They're going to get a much-needed win and Dale Tallon and company. And then they hear about that goal with seconds left where the Bruins had 2 points.
And it was a night where not only that, seconds left to tie it, and then in overtime is just a goal that, you know, Rask has to be better on this shot. I'm not a goaltender and say why he wasn't able to stop it, but it was almost middle bar from Getzlaff from a wrist shot. And that's just these points, and it's been tough on him because every save is so important, every goal in the National Hockey League. But the game winner, I think, is a goal he would have liked to have had back, and I think that point...
Was that tipped at all?
I don't know. The angles that I have, I don't want to take anything away from Tuukka, but that's a save I think that he has to make. So that's a huge point. Ottawa, as much as Ottawa struggled last night, and Andrew Hammond wasn't his best night as a pro, or the defense, or the team.
So you've got
anyone.
A team where the bubble, you think the bubble's popped in Ottawa on a great run, countered by a Boston team that's so fragile.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of, whoever wants it, it's right there. I don't think Andrew Hammond starts the next game, though, for the Ottawa Senators.
You're banged up, too. There's reasons to put, well, Craig Anderson, they think, can be back in.
Mentally, this is going to sound, again, a lot of these things I got to preface by saying. Every now and then, I think Andrew Hammond needs a 2-day mental break as well. His life went from playing in the American Hockey League, where it was kind of riding buses and kind of eating Subway sandwiches or whatever, to... Now it's...
Boston Pizza Brute.
Yeah, fantastic, by the way. Or the tuna tacos, which are you love. But he goes to the whole rink chanting his name to, if he wins, everyone in the building gets food. It's been a lot. And now tonight, today, everyone's looking back. Every newspaper is going to say the Hamburglar is fried or done or mincemeat
arrested.
Or whatever. Whatever. Mm. So it's... It's a lot. I think he needs a little bit of a mental break.
Yeah, what was the...
But do you want to take him out of that? Or do you want to keep him submerged in it?
Well, what do you mean take him out? Just by sitting him out or having him back up or what?
Or back up, but he's saying like he needs a 2-day mental break.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, I wouldn't play him the next game because I think it's sometimes good to watch. Mm-hmm. I also think that it's important...
I don't want him to realize where he is right now. I want to keep him...
But, you know,
so
the stat last night, right? He gives up 3 goals in the first period. Last time he did it was against Worcester or Bing, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, that's the perspective. He was in the American Hockey League just a couple of months ago, last time he gave up 3 goals in the first period. So that is
He's given up 2 a few times. He's fallen behind a couple of times.
As much as tomorrow's game is important for the Ottawa Senators.
Toronto, right?
You have at Toronto. Then you have Florida, which I think is the bigger game. And I think that's where you want Hammond ready for. Then you have... Detroit, Tampa, Washington, Toronto, Pitt, Rangers, Philly. It doesn't get any easier. I think you give them the one game and you hope Anderson, and then you go right back to Hammond for Florida.
Problem is Anderson hasn't played. And you don't know what you're getting in Anderson.
Well, I know what you've got in Hammond the last 4 games. It's 3.5 goals scored against.
Yeah, ordinary goal.
You just don't have any options right now.
Well,
is the option of Hammond and
that's
potential.
A fair argument. That's
so you're just saying take it and run with him.
What are you going to put Dreger in?
That's the only argument.
Well, guys make decisions if a guy's able to play, whatever. So I mean, I would defer that NHL goaltenders. At some point, you got to get back in after you've been injured. If they feel he's ready, it's still worth the shot because maybe he'll go on a run. Who knows?
How much do you pay attention? Here's Hockey Central with Darren Millard, PJ Stock, former National Hockey League player and former NHL general manager, Gord Stellick. How much do you pay attention on the bench to what the crowd's doing and certain chants?
I'm a I'm not the best example because I spent a lot of time on the bench.
You yourself deface, but it's
you do and you don't. When I was playing, it was, you never really pay attention to it until it's dead quiet during those timeouts. And then that's when the only time you listen. You're so focused into the game. And when there is a quiet moment, you talk to your line mates, you talk to whoever, coach comes down, trainer says something, until there's those TV timeouts. And then that's when you start looking around, what's going on, and that's when you start paying attention to that stuff.
Are you talking about a chant or something
like
that?
Okay. Winnipeg has become the place to watch games for because they come up with creative chants.
And they got it here, and the players got it here.
Ovi's better when Sydney's in town. And last night was "We Want Carey." They were lighting up Dustin Tokarski, and the MTS Center crowd starts chanting "We Want Carey." And I just wonder whether players get a message from that or get
who's
a
your captain
out.
Against San
who's
Jose?
Your captain
was
against
great.
San Jose,
you
yeah.
got. I mean, they got to hear those. That's that, and it's creative too. It's not like about somebody sucks or whatever. You know, this one's creative.
If they get into the playoffs, Eastern Western Conference, that is the dark horse for me. Like if I had to pick anyone in either conference, that is the team for me that you don't want to play the Canadiens because of Carey Price. But if Pavlik stays the way he's been playing the last few games, I love this Winnipeg team.
And you know something? Their fans will find a way to take over half the other building. Like they will. I mean, they've been phenomenal since day one about how they travel everywhere.
Yeah, we are awesome.
I know.
Well, traveled here and never went back. But anyway, hey, your Brandon team's excellent too.
We lost last night though. Game one of the Western Hockey League playoffs. Thanks for bringing it up.
But yeah, if they get in, and it is going to be, first of all, to play in that building is going to be tough for, I don't care which team you are and which adversity you've played against before. That is going to be a loud, rocking building. Not only the building, but the atmosphere going to the games, in the restaurants, around town. It is going to be rocking. So that's one thing. But they are doing things right now. They are fast. They are physical. They can score. And they're getting great goaltending.
They're getting healthy.
You being a Manitoba guy, and I mean this seriously, okay, in the playoffs, are they going to keep doing the whiteout? It really hasn't worked. Like, their record with the whiteout in playoffs going back isn't great. It's neat. I know and everything. And
who are they playing against?
I'm just saying, like, usually when you keep a tradition, it's because you have some record going, you have success.
Yeah, Darren.
Boy, the
maybe time for something new.
I think it's time to ban the whiteout because they couldn't beat Gretzky's Oilers.
I'm just saying, Darren, change
just
it
saying,
up.
Yeah, I'm just saying
something
else.
Let me guess, your start today is going to be from the Jets.
Watch your whiteout. Come on.
I tweeted.
I'm
Brandon.
From Winnipeg. Woo-hoo.
Worked in Winnipeg. Love St. Patel. The whiteout. I tweeted this the other day. If the Jets make the playoffs, do they bring back the whiteout? Because it did go with Phoenix, now Arizona.
Yeah.
And they did it. But,
you know what I find ridiculous?
Can I just finish my thought? Because I tweeted this.
Everything's about
Winnipeg. And it was 50-50. From people saying, you got to bring it back. You have to have the whiteout there. And then other people were thinking, because they now wear the blue sweaters at home, whether that goes against the team on the ice. So it's mixed.
The blue out, whatever. The blue wave.
I was going to cut you off, but you answered why I was going to cut you off. I don't get why teams have the different color towels. Or they actually, in basketball, was Oklahoma City. I think they were white at home, but everyone has the blue towel going on, and the opposition they were playing are blue. So it just kind of.
You're not overthinking that? I would bring the white up back in a second.
Okay. Well, that other team's going to be wearing a white jersey at home.
Oh, so that automatically means that they're cheering for them? So a non-hockey fan's going to go, ooh.
I'm just saying, why not?
Boy, St. Louis is really popular in Winnipeg.
Which team is Winnipeg here at the playoff game?
And Pavlich. Remember what happened in St. Louis?
Okay, I get it. You like Winnipeg. You're from Winnipeg.
He lost the puck in the crowd, and it went in?
Yeah.
The whiteout? It's not
going to
happen.
Maybe do a blackout.
Grant Fear always said.
Why didn't they do a blackout?
You don't want to hurt him.
No, but then the other goalies won't be able to see the puck.
But you're the goalie. Your goalie is the one having the trouble.
Well, not Pavlik's on fire right now.
Grant Fear always said when he played in Winnipeg in the playoffs, the whiteout, he loved it because he could see the puck so much. On the subject of traveling, hopefully I'm not telling this out of school, but senior correspondent for CBC and the National is Peter Mansbridge.
Right.
Big hockey fan. loves his Toronto Maple Leafs, but he has two season tickets to the Winnipeg Jets. Got in there right at the start. His daughters use them most of the time. They live in Winnipeg. But he said if they make the playoffs, he's going back. He's using those tickets. And talk about traveling and supporting the team. He's going to be there.
Where's his daughter
going to be? Now you're not only making fun of me, you're now making fun of trying to poke fun at Peter Mansbridge, and I think you crossed the line.
How's he poking fun?
PJ, you crossed a line.
I see. No, he's going to cheer on his team because he.
What's he think of the whiteout? That's the big thing. It could be a national story.
We should put it in the at issue panel.
I'd be interested what he thinks of the whiteout. He's a smart guy and he's a big
Peter,
sports fan.
If you're listening right now, send me a message.
Okay, I want to go back and argue something.
Okay.
Last night's game, the Corey Perry game winning goal.
Yes.
Goal interference.
Yes. And just bring up Corey Perry. He could score from center ice and it's goalie interference with Corey Perry.
I'm just saying, last night, that's why we have to find a way to fix this. I'm watching college basketball last night as well. They're checking everything in the last minute of the game because it's so important for the future of the game, the school, the whatever, the country, the betting, whatever. Hockey has a goal that gets... Why aren't we there yet? Why aren't we there yet?
They're doing it.
We're getting there.
But
it's a little late. Like I said, that one point the Bruins might have lost last night could be millions and millions and millions of dollars in the playoffs.
But there's always been the human element, obviously, and there's been human error. And the better teams,
they're taking that out, though.
No, but I mean in general. And then at what point do you just start doing it and like automatically just video and the referees skate off the last 2 minutes and you just do it from the room and Murph and King and Coley Campbell make the calls?
Why do Murph and King not get their first names mentioned?
Mike Murphy, Chris King, Kay Whitmore. I mean, those kind of guys. But I do agree with you. The goalie interference, because they test the waters, right, and they see if they can go further and further and further. Mm-hmm. And as the playoffs go on and you get very familiar with each other and don't like each other and it gets intense, as you say, that to me is the one that – and I think a lot of referees would say, I wouldn't mind a second look at it.
Oh, yeah,
right?
I agree with that. And talking to several officials, they don't mind that at all. We have to take a break. When we continue, the three stars, and then it's the Western Conference playoff picture. As muddy as ever – it's Hockey Central with PJ Stock.
From Winnipeg hater.
Winnipeg hater. And Gord Stellick, who 20 years ago was a Winnipeg hater.
I've always listened to it.
And Darren Millard, Winnipeg lover.
Let's go Winnipeg.
It's Hockey Central and Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet.ca, and on the NHL Network in the United States. One more time.
Welcome to Hockey Night in England. This is a live broadcast of the Piccadilly Cup. And there's the whistle. Jolly good shot from the Cheshire chaps. Valiantly blocked by Essex. Wait a tick. There's been a dust-up between Helmsley and Cavendish. Gloves are coming off. And Helmsley has slapped Cavendish with his glove. The spectators are expressing their approval.
Some things just make more sense in Canada. Like a Subaru with symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive.
Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
It'll probably come up, but the boss was up here. Mitch Kirzner, and he always stops by, insults everybody. Great for morale. Is your mic on?
He was the first ever, I guess he didn't teach me well, group of producers when The Fan launched in 1992 with Chris Clark and Todd Maclin. They were the three producers. How about that?
He's done well.
I would say so.
It's Hockey Central. Darren Millard along with PJ Stock and... Gord Stellick. The Western Conference, we have our three stars coming up in just a bit, too. The Western Conference playoff picture featuring games last night. Like, you look at Vancouver stumbling against Colorado. Winnipeg coming up with a big win over Montreal. San Jose trying to keep it alive. This thing is as crazy. L.A., where did you guys see L.A. going into the three stops in New York?
Hey, I love, New first Jersey. Of all, what about Daryl Sutter's quote? It's more difficult to make the Western Conference playoffs than winning the Stanley Cup. Now, that's easy to say when you've won a couple of Stanley Cups, but that's how absurd it is that you seem to – I use Calgary as the example, that they seem to win five in a row, and then they lost a game and they were out of the playoffs by virtue of that. L.A. Kings are going to make it. San Jose Sharks not. That's not exactly a newsflash, but I just think, you know, given the win last night and that, I don't break down the games as much, Darren. I just think – they have what it takes to make it once again, which is not good news for the other 15 teams.
Both Calgary and LA in the stretch drive have five-game road trips. LA is now 3-0 in theirs, and Calgary starts its five-game road trip tonight in Minnesota.
You look at the teams that are currently hold the wild card spots, Minnesota and Winnipeg, they're getting goaltending right now that they hadn't got all year. And I think that is really helping them because I think their teams were built for success. So we pictured they'd be in there, but obviously the injuries in Winnipeg and the goaltending situation in Minnesota, so they're in there. And I think the one team, though, that we're talking about, Calgary, LA, the Minnesota, Winnipeg, the one team for me that keeps baffling me, and credit to them, is Vancouver. I really thought Vancouver was going to take a slide when Miller went down, and they had a ton of injuries as well. The Sedins, after last year, I didn't think they'd bounce back as well. And Eddie Lack comes in, and I thought things are going to go okay for a little bit, but then they got these big games coming up, and I'm going to go back to last Saturday when they had the game against the LA Kings in the afternoon, and this was the start of the downfall for the Vancouver Canucks, and the Kings were now taking over, and they put a beating on LA. They they won. And probably the biggest game for them of the year. And just LA now is playing catch up. Vancouver sits in a great spot, but kudos to them. And, you know, Eddie Lack.
But kudos to the
story.
Kings as well. Like, yes. That kind of, because I agree with you. I thought that was it. That game, I thought, was the signature game that if the Kings were going to falter, that was it. And then they bounced because they lost their composure there, got the major penalty, the power play goal. And I thought that was all she wrote.
The sad part is it's Vancouver, Winnipeg, Calgary kind of all fighting with Los Angeles. And we have three Canadian teams there kind of fighting for...
Minnesota's in there.
I know. I just... They're a good hockey team.
So that's what you're saying.
They're, you know what, I'm just thinking they're in. They're just in right now. How do you go against that team right now? Everything they do is just...
No, but you started, we talked earlier about the Hamburglar.
Well, they've got
We're Devin Dubnyk's the Hamburglar times two.
Minnesota has Calgary,
yes,
and LA
longevity. Really
tonight
is.
And tomorrow.
No, but you're not agreeing.
Things could change in a big hurry there.
Like the goaltending story there has been like the Hamburglar, but times two as far as longevity went. And, I mean, you know, they do have guys like Parise and Suter, and we know all that, but it's really been... like Rolison did with Edmonton when they made that trade so many years ago the other way. That's been the story.
The great five games of the season for each team. I think Calgary's got to play against the Kings and Winnipeg. Flip side, Winnipeg, of course, is playing Calgary. They got Minnesota and Vancouver in there as well. The race is going to come down to the last couple of games, maybe even the last game on the last night, April 11th, as Winnipeg is playing Calgary. I think the LA Kings kind of have I'm not saying an easier schedule, but they got Edmonton in there a couple of times, and the Sharks on the last night of the season, which might be, if the Sharks are out of it by then, it's one of those nights where they're just out of it. So
the President's Trophy is always downplayed.
And should be.
But this year, with parity being what it is, mm-hmm. and that edge of home ice advantage in the Stanley Cup final, never mind throughout your conference playoffs, Is the President's Trophy not as valuable as it's ever been? And this race between everybody from Tampa Bay with 99 points up to the New York Rangers and the Anaheim Ducks who lead with 101. There's six teams within 2 points. I think it speaks to the seriousness that trophy, that what the privilege and the advantage that goes with it should be accelerated.
And first of all, don't ever let me knock about people being first overall. I just mean about the trophy because it so pales in comparison to the Stanley Cup.
You never really won. So you're like, that guy that's saying it's okay
absolutely.
To be third or fourth.
Absolutely.
It's okay to lose.
How can you work for teams that
I don't
never,
want to
never
knock.
Won the press? No, but I said it pales in comparison to the actual trophy. To be first overall in either conference, get home ice advantage, you can hang a banner, do whatever you want. It's great, but I just mean the President's Trophy means nothing compared to the Stanley Cup.
I never
That's
said it
saying.
Did.
Well, I did. I just did. Okay, then I'm just talking
but
about the actual
the
trophy.
Point. Okay, so you're comparing
I'm talking about the
trophy,
actual trophy.
The physical trophy.
So coming first.
So they need a new trophy?
So they need no trophy for it. So coming first overall in each conference, you're right, as far as you get home ice advantage going all the way through, it's the team that's won the most, so it should have the most winning attitude and winning karma heading in the playoffs, so there's many positives
about
that.
But do you not
think
teams should be focused on winning the President's Trophy right now? as opposed to just seeing if it happens?
I think right now it's important. I don't want to ever agree with Gord. You just want to position yourself in the – you want to get into the playoffs.
But those six teams are going to make the playoffs.
Okay, now who are you playing? And what do you have to sacrifice down the stretch to try and win this? Is resting maybe Carey Price a couple extra games to get him ready for potentially a 2 month? That only cares or matters, sorry, once you get past three rounds of playoffs. That's when it only really matters. Once you get past three rounds of the playoffs, and who knows where you're going to be in after one round, after two rounds, that only means you start the first two games on the road.
And whatever you're trying to figure out for your team gets messed up at the end because other guys move. You know, if you're trying to think there's one team you have trouble with and you ideally would not like to meet in the first round, you know, it's not like you're deliberately winning or losing that way, but also the other way around, I mean, that they mess it up for you as well. And by the way, who wears, when the year the LA Kings won the Stanley Cup, are guys wearing the President's Trophy rings?
No.
Okay.
They finished 8th and 6th the 2 years that they won.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, whoever came first, are they wearing, you know, that's more what I mean about the actual.
No, you said losing's okay. I think that's the way Darren and I took it.
Mm-hmm. I did not. I did not say Tank Nation. I didn't say anything, even though I've.
My original point to this was.
And I answered your original point.
Parity is at such an extreme right now that the President's Trophy and home ice advantage throughout should mean more.
And then in the playoffs every year, how many playoffs have we had where the road teams had a better record?
I don't know.
A couple years ago we did.
How many?
I don't know.
How many?
A couple years ago we did.
What was it?
It was like...
Give us a number.
28 and 25.
If you're going to throw out questions.
Well, roughly 28 and 20. I wish Steve Fellin was here. That would be my go-to guy. Because the point in the playoffs is those grandiose ceremonies that every game now is like a season opener that almost helps the road team sometimes because it's like a 15-minute drawn-out thing that sucks the life out of some guys.
Not Montreal.
I go back to Washington, and when they would dominate their division... Again, you'd win the President's Trophy. Vancouver would win it every year. Because of the division they were in. They were playing an Edmonton team, a Calgary team that were struggling back then, and they just get free points, you know. And now I like this setup a little bit more.
Divisional playoffs are great.
Yeah, they are great. It's just different. And it's the President's Trophy. I disagree with you on losing is good, but I agree with you on the President's Trophy.
Three stars in just a minute, but we're finger cooking food today at Boston Pizza. Over 100 menu items to choose from, and we have it delivered every Friday, right on time. And I have to wait until he actually arrives because it doesn't mean as much. You don't get the same type of effect.
I get it, Kipper. Sorry, Kipper.
I didn't realize I couldn't order all 100. Sorry about that.
But Boston Pizza. Thank you very much.
Hey, Stars, where's our music? The only reason why I come on the show on Fridays is to hear this little jingle.
Time for the Hockey Central Three Stars.
Yes! It's so good.
It is good,
You got to get out more.
I got to get out more. You're like, hey, losing's good.
Yeah. Hey, I'm never going to knock winning, but...
let's get to the three
losing
stars.
Losing is great.
You're paraphrasing.
Andre Pavlich is my star.
Kidding. Anyone from Winnipeg? Okay. White out.
Talk about it. Hey, he was...
White out.
Put to the end of the bench. Nothing was going on with Andre Pavlich, and now he steps in with Michael Hutchinson having a small little bump, and boom, the Winnipeg Jets are back into it. Mitch Kerzner wants to know if he gets free food. No, the boss does not get free food on that one. But the Winnipeg Jets beat the Montreal Canadiens in a key game, and as much as they were mocking the decision to sign play Dustin Tokarski, Pavlich was incredible last night.
Mine's a Dustin, but not Tokarski. It's Dustin Byfuglien. And what I've liked in
there
general...
There was more than just one game on last night.
There was 11 last night.
I know.
Ten of them were happening at the same time.
We're well aware of that, PJ. And I just like the fact when you talk about the fight today between Kessel and Booth at practice that, you know, the Jets, they culled the herd on their own, right? They really did. And he was a guy that talked a lot.
Good
it was
Western
very
reference.
Unusual. And about moving guys out of town, moving new guys in town. He's been hurt, now back. As big a game as they need, of course, he gets the big first goal.
You have less than 60 seconds.
We're going to finish the show on a good note. I'm probably the player right now who's probably playing the best hockey in the National Hockey League is Anze Kopitar, my star. For the LA Kings losing a huge game to Vancouver Canucks on Saturday, went on a road trip, three games, New York, two teams in New York and New Jersey. They won all three in those three games on the road. Kopitar has 6 points last night, the game winner. There she is, Haya Lickman now, and he's not from Winnipeg.
No, he's not. He's not from downtown Winnipeg.
And he doesn't like losing.
To PJ Stock and Gord Stellick for stepping in on this Friday. It's part of a Hockey Central tradition.
What do you mean stepping in? Like we weren't planned?
No, he's stepping in every Friday.
Oh, okay, good.
Tonight, Calgary and Minnesota, Sportsnet West. Won a couple of back-to-back games for the Flames and Dallas at Edmonton on Sportsnet 1. Columbus, Chicago rounds out your NHL schedule. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow with your host, George Strombolopoulos.